At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
When you're getting ready in the morning, then you're exercising, or when you just need a little boost, download Mindset and listen to your favorite motivational speeches while getting ready for the day.
Every bad thing that has ever happened to you is your fault. And if tonight a meteorite comes screaming through the atmosphere, crashes into my bedroom and kills my wife, I will know that that is my fault. Now, I use the word fault to shake people up. I know that it's making you mad right now. I know that it winds you up and you think that I'm victim shaming. And when you get beyond that and you realize all I'm trying to do is remind you that you are never, ever, ever, ever a victim unless you choose to be, everything in your life will change. You're always in control, even if that's a lie. And I don't care if it is. Even if a meteorite coming in and killing my wife couldn't possibly be my fault, I'm going to own it. Because the second I give away my power to somebody else, I'm now at something else's mercy. And there is some line that I can't cross, that I'm no longer in control. And I refuse to do that. If I could give anybody a gift, it would be that, for you to own that completely top to bottom and to know that every good thing that's ever happened in your life, no matter how much it seemed like luck or coincidence, that was you. You earned that. You put yourself in that position. And as you move forward, life is one of two things, the result you wanted or the result you didn't want. If you don't get the result you want, you are by definition doing the wrong thing and you must change. If you get the result that you want, then you did the right thing. Simple as, no gray, nothing in between. That's it. It's all your fault. And that's the best news possible.
Audacity is nothing. Don't worry about being audacious. The reason people fear being audacious is they don't want to be me 10 years from now when this all fails, right? They're thinking, oh man, what if this doesn't work? This guy's gonna look like... And it's like, yeah, maybe other people will think that I'm a total, so it doesn't matter. And why doesn't it matter? Because of tech me. Because if I know how to build a house, I can build a house. So my thing is, I'm not trying to posture or be cool. I'm telling you, I have a set of skills. That set of skills lets me do things. I'm just interested in doing those things. So whether or not I hit my timelines does not matter. I'm in the skill acquisition game. Skills let you do things. I'm in the game of doing the things that my skills allow me to do. So I want to impact people's lives. Maybe I'm not able to pull it off at a film level. Oh, I'll find another way. Or maybe it takes me a lot longer to pull it off. Okay, fine. As long as I love what I'm doing, even when I'm failing, there's nothing to lose. Thinking something and saying something makes you believe it. And the things you believe, you will unintentionally guide yourself towards. I think your belief about yourself and what you're capable of influences your accomplishments more than you can imagine, just because you don't put in the extra mile of effort or whatever that it was going to take because you don't believe that you can. Mm-hmm. Or you don't even allow yourself to dream it. And if you don't dream it, you're never going to come up with a plan. So it is wildly influential in terms of what happens, just not in a mystical way, in a very like tactical way. You just end up either doing or not doing the things that you should.
I want to get rich, and I just made it all about that. And so for 6.5 of those years, I didn't take days off. Even when we would go to London for Christmas, I had like a video camera that would allow, well, this is actually slightly in the future, but a great example. I would take a video camera that would let me watch the production line at Quest.
Oh my God.
So like that kind of obsessive, like I'm all in.
Yeah.
Back at the technology company, same kind of thing, but I would either be working on the tech company or trying to start other companies at night. So we talk a lot about, we had like 5 or 6 companies fail, all side hustles.
Yeah.
But it was like, we just kept trying to learn and figure this out.
Yeah.
And so growing in that, becoming better, understanding marketing, helping elevate the company, really rising up to a peer status, watching other people fall away because they couldn't emotionally hang in the environment. And yeah, then they made me I didn't ask for a raise for 5 years. I was like, I want to be so valuable that they feel gross for what they're paying me.
Yeah.
And so, because I wanted the equity,
what a lesson.
I didn't want the salary.
Yep.
So I was like, dude, I'm in this for the equity. You don't have to worry about me. Equity, equity, equity. I just kept it on their mind. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you said that was a possibility. I want you to know that means everything to me. And that's why I'm here. And so hit the 6.5 year mark. I'm 10% owner in the company and I'm completely miserable. And I burned out and I realized that entrepreneurship had given, given, given. It was making me stronger, bigger, faster. And now it was beginning to take away because I didn't care about the product. I didn't love what we were doing. I wasn't passionate. I was just chasing money and money just wasn't that interesting. At that point on paper, we both know the difference between paper money and real money.
Right.
But on paper, I was a multimillionaire. And I went in and I said, guys, here's your equity back. I'm quitting. I'm not crossing the finish line, so I don't think I should get anything for this. And it actually ended up being like a really cathartic moment where we could all say what we'd been feeling, which is, none of us are happy. Mm. And so it became, well, if we're gonna keep doing this, if we're gonna keep building businesses, because by then it was very clear to me, the struggle is guaranteed, the success is not. Mm. And so I'm gonna go do something I love. And they agreed, they felt the same. So we said, okay, well, what would we build that we would love even if we were failing? And so for three very different reasons, that became a nutrition company.
In the business world, so many people think that scoring is based on how big your net worth is or how much money you make. And it's really unfortunate because I think true bred entrepreneurship almost doesn't give about all the collateral that comes along with it. It's art. You just love doing it. And we've got to find our balance. Much like the chat I had up front, as I spend the next half decade refining what I talked to you about up there and what I'm talking about right now is we have to change the definition of success. Mm. We have to. It cannot be the flex. We cannot put expensive watches and cars and bank accounts on a pedestal. We must get away from that. But that doesn't mean we demonize it either. We have to make it about the process of
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Game, gotta find our way, because right now we're over here. We've got to find this. I think that people in business are confused. I think that the way that business is branded is misbranded. I think people think that if you're kind, you get walked over. And I think that is absolutely asinine. I think that a lot of people who claim they're being walked all over are actually just trying to manipulate situations and it didn't work out the way they wanted to. So they use I got walked all over as an excuse. I'm kind as none of you are walking over me.
I watch people give advice completely predicated on natural talent and DNA, and I'm like, look, like I get it, like I can throw a football every day for 9 hours a day, I'm just not physically built to be competitive at the highest levels. So yeah, I do think, you know, if anybody watching right now, if there's anything they take away, it's like, look, like you're gonna only be so pretty, you're only gonna be so smart, like you, like there's things that are gonna be natural and then there's things that you can actually control. I do believe, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I don't, but I do believe that work ethic is a taught behavior. It's something you do have more control over.
So much of what I've always felt as an entrepreneur was a vulnerability of a school system is not the cliche stuff that you might see in my content, but just by nature, all of us spending the majority of our youth in a system that grades us every 90 days and we pander to a subjective reality within that really sets us up to eliminate our creativity and our curiosity, makes us subconsciously conform to the short term and inherently makes us lack patience. The other thing I'm spending a lot of time on is how much we struggle with our relationship in time and with time. We get sold so many things like life is short, which, you know, I think all of us at this point know, depending on the context that you look at a statement or a situation, it changes the altercation. But so many of the rules in society of when you're supposed to have your life figured out, get married, accomplish, is predicated on a world where people live to 45 years old. It's just the reality of it. So much of what we're affected by is how our grandparents were affected by their parents and grandparents, and those were dying at 40. Of course you should have your life figured out at 30 when you're dead at 47. But we haven't adjusted. You know, 1880 may seem a long time ago, but it's stunningly not. And when life expectancy is in the late 30s and early 40s, and now we're 75, 85, 90, 95, I just think that there's so much confusion in the system. And I just think that we need to have different conversations. Let me give you an example. A different conversation that we need in the business world, that's where I'll keep it, but it's clearly a societal statement, is I'm genuinely struggling why anybody should not be kind. I've watched in the business world for the last 20 years, people justify being cruel to the people that they're a manager of or their admins because they're stressed. I'm sorry I scolded you, you don't get it. The client had me in a bad day. We have completely accepted bad behavior off of. I'm really passionate about this. If you're a leader by nature, your job is to stop pressure at your level, not deploy more of it underneath you. I think that we need to just do better. And I think that I'm passionate at this point in my life to really start talking about the nuances that are very clear to me, that sustainable things are grounded in very good virtues, and that we have to start recognizing that soft skills will continue to dominate and gain momentum because hard skills are starting to be commoditized. The most insecure place I've ever been in was the fear of confrontation, which blows people's mind because on stage and public persona, it's candor is my strength. But in real life, I hated candor because my father was very aggressive with candor, but very negative. And I wasn't able to separate the vehicle he was deploying the candor in from the value of candor. So for 25 years of my career, I was anxious every time I decided somebody had to get fired. It completely put me into spirals. I would avoid it. It was always sloppy. It, to a T, every person that's ever been close to me in business that works for me or worked for me that doesn't love me is based on one thing, my inability to be candorous.
Did you know that 21% of all the people that bought Bitcoin in the last 12 months here in the UK don't have a clue what Bitcoin is? Did you know that the average price for an order in 2019 for Bitcoin was £280, which is about $350. In 2021, the last 12 months, it's about $100 more. So they're spending $500 or less. How are you gonna change your life with $500 investment? Even if Bitcoin went to $1 billion, it's not gonna change many lives. Find something you love. Find something you're passionate about. And only surround yourself with other people that are passionate about the same thing. And then if it's work to you, it's not worth pursuing. I don't consider myself working. I consider myself, this is like a hobby. And I haven't had to work in 35 years. I had a young lady interviewing me that explained to me why millennials buy these stocks that are worth nothing. And she says, basically, we don't have any option, legal option, how to get rich. I used to give a lecture in universities, wealth, risk, reward, not. The system that was devised 70 years ago after World War II, you go to work with a company, you work 30, 40, 45 years, you get a pension, you don't get a gold watch as nice as mine, and you can live in a picket house with 2.4 dogs, 6.4 grandchildren, and hopefully your original wife. Well, that model is dead. That is impossible anymore. And on top of it, you have $150,000 to $250,000 in debt for going to school. Some kids will be 45 years old and still be paying off student debt. Well, that's a load of crap.
You want people with a like mind and that are better than you, smarter than you, more intelligent than you to get on your bus. don't be so concerned about what you're gonna do with those people, but you wanna, you know, the joint brain is, you know, there's nothing the joint brain, collective brain or brains can't overcome. And I give the example of the atomic bomb, the Manhattan Project, and they were put together and they were told, we need to develop a weapon of mass destruction, which they didn't call it that back in those days, in the middle 40s, to end the war in the Pacific. And they did. They didn't know if it was implode or explode, but they did. But if your team doesn't look like that, then you should, I won't say you should give serious thought, you should just change.
Number one, you want to be in a business where there's big margins, big gross margins. Not, for example, retail, forget about it. Restaurants, forget about it. Things that, you want big margins. Unfortunately, in my opinion, most internet businesses have big margins. That's why you flock to it. First of all, you want between 20 and 40% gross margin. So even if you mismanage it, you'll come out with a decent net margin. Number two, if you're not first, you have to be different. What I see kids doing is just replicating the same business idea over and over again. How are you different? Well, who's your market? Do you really understand who your market is? More money than you think being made in green. I'm not a believer that the world's gonna end in because of global warming, but there's little niches. I would look at government contracts because unfortunately, the Canadian government, the US government, the British government doesn't have a level of expertise that you have to bid on government contracts. So that means you, young lady, could bid on government contracts in Canada for whatever. There are 3 million contracts daily being let in the Canadian government. There's 10 million contracts daily in the US government. We've had kids that never attended the seminar that have made tens of millions off government contracts, but most kids want it to be handed to them on a platter. Most kids think they go to a 3-day seminar in Montreal that it's gonna be the end all be all, and they're gonna turn that $3,000 or $1,800 into millions. That's just not true.
Follow what you're passionate about, what you love. If it's not work, if you love what you're doing, okay? Most people, when I say they're living quiet lives of desperation, is because they're involved in a business or a job that they don't enjoy, they're not passionate about, okay? So if you found something that you're passionate about, then it doesn't matter if you work 3 hours a day or 13 hours a day, that's where you start. And most people aren't there. Most people have to find that.
Every single day, and I think to myself, I am the most unqualified, like non-development tech founder in the face of this internet, and yet I'm still going to do it because I don't want to lie at the end of my life and think, I wish I would have tried something. I had no business starting a business, and yet I started one, and I have found ways to create and make and sustain multiple 7-figure revenue streams. And while that may or may not be the case for everybody else, I strongly believe that every single business owner, once armed with what they know how to do, and once armed with the marketing, and once armed with the discipline, and once armed with the consistency, that they too can build a 6-figure revenue stream. I believe that with every fiber in my bones. Can you deliver on the promise that you are making? Can you sustain those customer relationships? Because if then, I believe, hands down, you can create a 6-figure revenue stream. And in America, if you are creating a 6-figure revenue stream, you are in the 1% of the 1%. And I think to myself, as a person who received government-issued food and substances, I went to college on the back of government aid. I was the recipient of people's benevolence and taxpayers' money for me to go back and give back to a community. I think to myself that my business has become a passport for me to move entire legacies, industries, timelines, predisposed ideas of who I should be based on my gender, color of skin, or how I was raised. And I'm like, I became the thing that broke the system and the statistic, but I don't think I'm special. I believe everybody can do this. And so on the days that it becomes very hard, I think to myself, you have the passport. Are you going to keep it for yourself, or are you going to help other people get out too? On the days that are the darkest, I always think to myself, can you help one person get a passport today? And that's the thing that continues to keep me pushing forward. the minute that something was complicated and difficult and impossible, and then decided to go after it, like, I thought it was impossible or difficult to ever position myself as an authority to be a consultant. I thought it was impossible. I thought it was impossible to ever create a course, much less create revenue streams of multiple seven figures in the back of courses. Then I thought it was impossible to create a membership. And then I thought it was impossible to start a tech company. So the earliest part of my career was, I want to become a photographer, and then I want to become a successful photographer. And then all of a sudden, the game got really slow. I could predict my income, I could predict the publicity, I could predict the resources, I could predict the connections, I could predict the publications. And when I predicted it, I loved it and I appreciated it, and then I just didn't want it anymore. And if you don't show up in your business loving what you turn over for your customers or your clients, your business is in decline. And I thought, I must show up 100% for the people who hire me. And if I am not, my time has come. And that's when I started to make shifts in my business. My truth and my experience has been, I have to jump higher. I have to show up earlier. I have to be the first person to turn off the light and the last person to turn off the light. I have to make sure that every number is correct and every T is crossed and every I is dotted. The way that I show up is by being consistent, so consistent that people cannot doubt your capacity to succeed. You have to work harder than the average person. And if you accept those terms, you cannot complain about those terms. I have only known success on the back of consistency. Do I think you could be a success without being consistent? Perhaps, if you have other resources and tools that I was never given. But coming from where I am, my perspective has only been consistency, and the discipline has been everything that I have ever gotten on the back of doing it again and again and again. It is what I teach. It is what I preach. It is what I believe. I'm going to give the advice that I heard my third year of business. I was sitting with a group of other photographers who were farther in their career, and I had always found a way, even though I couldn't afford to get educated specifically in the photography realm because there was like very high ticket experiences, I would find a way to leverage what I thought I was good at in exchange. And so I found a photographer in my area. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I said, hey, would I be able to go to your event and write a few blog posts about your event? And in addition to, if you let me come, could I also write your bio, like for your website? Because I gave like a little preview. I was like, his bio was just like, great photographer, love my camera. And I kind of wrote just like the first paragraph of what could be his bio based on things that I had read about him on the internet. And he was just like, yes. So I got into this room, and what he said, I felt like it just pierced my heart. And this is the thing that I will tell everybody again and again. He said, jump and the net will appear. And it was the first time in my entire life that I had ever heard somebody speak so brazenly about taking a risk. Again, who I am now as a risk taker is so different than who I was when I began. And the way that you strengthen that risk muscle is by taking risks. And when he said that 3 years into it, I realized, okay, now is the time for me to start taking those risks. I wish somebody would have told me that sooner. Let's just be real, right? Like, people hear that jump in the net will appear, jump in, like the universe has your back, and we love it. We're like high-fiving because we've been on the other side. But like, there have been plenty of times where there was no net, and there, like, the universe was just like, I see you, I'm not putting my arms out, because you needed to fall on your face.
It's time for you to do what you gotta do so you can go where you wanna go. See, the mindset of success, it has a winning pedigree. And every day the goal is to add to its legacy. What legacy are you gonna leave? When they talk about you, when they say, oh, he slept in every day to 12. Oh, she slept in every day to 12. And did nothing with his or her life. Or will they say, that's my role model, that's my hero, I look up to that person. Because they are exactly who I aspire to be. The choice is yours. It's not going to happen overnight. The marathon continues. But you can celebrate small wins along the way. And before it's all said and done, like Rocky in that movie, you will run up those steps and you'll keep running. And you'll keep running, and you'll keep running, and you'll keep running, and you'll want to stop, but you keep running. And the day will come when you arrive at the doorstep of next level greatness and you raise your arms in victory. Rise and cry, my friend. This is a great day to win.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.